Hey everyone, Chris Wan here. This is Accent Out Loud, a podcast about one person's take on English language learning, accent modification, and communication. This is episode 16. I wanted to do a continuation of the Australian English accent, again to try and explain the next step. The way that I see accent modification is now I've sort of got a decent understanding of certain aspects of the Australian English accent, the general Australian English accent. And it's important to start doing that or applying it in, let's say, less structured setting. So rather than repeating after somebody I've heard, trying to figure out and prepare in advance what I think an Australian English accent would sound like. So we're going to use the same speaker, Wendy Zuckerman, and the idea is that, interestingly enough, on their website, Gimlet Media, you can actually pick out the full transcripts. So usually on podcasts, what you can do now is if you go on their actual website, you can play the podcast, you can listen to it there, but they have a little bit more stuff that you can look at. With the website, you can look at references, you can look at pictures, they maybe go into a bit more detail about specific references that they're talking about or referring to. And if you have any follow-up information that you're interested in, then you can go there and look at it. So one of the things that Gimlet Media does is they actually post their full transcripts. And like I said in the last episode, I can actually look at it, see the text that I expect Wendy Zuckerman to actually say, and try and predict and propose what I think she will sound like, and which sounds I think she will accentuate, maybe say a little bit differently than a North American English speaker. And that way I can start to try and tailor or frame up or transition my accent and the way I try to do it to what I can then listen to and have that immediate feedback of what I thought it was and what she ends up saying. And again, the concept and the idea behind it is to slowly tweak. We're not trying to jump from 0 to 100 here. We're trying to go step by step, maybe 10% closer, 20% closer, 30% closer, 35% closer, maybe 30% back to 30%, and just slowly build up the patterns and the speech expectations to really start to alter or compartmentalize my general Australian English accent to its own sound repertoire. And the things that I'm going to try and pay attention to are what are iconic words that really sound differently from my typical North American English speech and a Australian English speech. So what I will do is I can put in the references, the transcript that I'm actually looking at, and I will read the transcript out loud in my normal accent. Try to then reread it in what I think the Australian English accent will sound like, and then play the audio recording of Wendy Zuckerman actually saying it in her Australian accent. So you get three repetitions. And again, I'll provide commentary about what I'm thinking about it. So this one is going to be about pets on planes. Are emotional support animals legit? It was a podcast that aired April 4th, 2019, so a few months ago. And this one, I chose something that was kind of interesting, pets on planes, emotional support animals. It's a bigger thing in the US. I think there's some sort of trend towards it in Canada, but I definitely don't think it's as big news. I'll break it down in sentences. I won't do paragraphs at this point in time because I want that immediate feedback. So in my North American English accent, "Hi, I'm Wendy Zuckerman, and this is Science Versus from Gimlet, the show that pits facts against furry friends on your flights." So there's certain words that I think she's going to say differently. Like I said before in my previous episodes on the Australian English accent, these R sounds, the hard R as more of a final sound in a consonant, are not being said. So Zuckerman may be more of a Zuckerman. Zuckerman. You don't really hear that hard R. And what I'm going to suggest, or what I think, is that her vowels are going to be a bit more back. So, for example, show might be more show. Show, it's not as front. That might be that. It's a bit more backed in the mouth. I think some of those diphthongs, the sounds that it's within the same syllable, the vowel transitions. So flight might be more of a floit, flight, flight. It's more, I think, a more exaggerated mouth movement. So overall, I might guess it sounds a bit more like, hi, I'm Wendy Zuckerman, and this is Science Versus from Gimlet, the show that pits facts against furry friends on your flights. I don't know, something like that. I'm going to preface this with, I know my Australian English accent is shit. That's not the point. The point is that day by day, that each episode that I do, that I'm starting to get a little bit better. And I'm only really comparing myself to myself. So I don't give a shit if other people think I sound completely out of left field. The point is that slowly, day by day, it sounds a little bit better. And then we'll listen to what she says.
And you're listening to Science Versus from Gimlet.
Gimlet.
This is the show that pits facts against furry friends on your flight.
Flight. Flight. She doesn't exaggerate as much as I did. Flight. But it's more, definitely a lot more exaggerated than flight. 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 And I just repeat that series again. So the next sentence is going to be, these days, it's starting to feel like airplanes are going to the dogs. What I think is going to happen is, again, there's going to be a bit more exaggerated mouth movements. So maybe air, that's that diphthong I'm hearing. Air, you can hear how that vowel changes within the same syllable. I might be a bit more exaggerated with my transitions. So these days, it's starting to feel like airplanes are going to the dogs. We'll take a look, we'll listen.
These days, it's starting to feel like airplanes are going to the dogs.
Airplanes are going to the dogs. So dogs, and then airplanes, there really is that arrow, like A-E-R-O. You really hear airplanes instead of airplanes. And another thing that I remembered that I said last time is there's more up and down sing-songy exaggeration. So I'll try and incorporate that as well. Again, North American English accent. People with anxiety and depression are bringing their pets on board because they say they need them for emotional support during flights. So the words that I'm going to try and say a little bit more exaggerated, flights, flights, flights. It's a little bit more exaggerated. Anxiety. So when I'm reading it, maybe I have to be a bit more up and down than my normal comfort level. So people with anxiety and depression are bringing their pets on board because they say they need them for emotional support during flights. Flights. I don't know, something like that.
People with anxiety and depression.
And again, I have the opportunity now when I'm listening to Wendy Zuckerman do it, I can slow it down, mimic right afterwards. So I get that positive feedback and that repetition right away.
Are bringing their pets on board because they say they need them for emotional support during flights.
Next sentence. And it's happening more and more often. So I know my own monotone, my voice is a little bit more monotone. So I might say, and it's happening more and more often. But maybe she does a bit more exaggeration. And it's happening more and more often.
More and more often.
Often. She doesn't say often. Something to note. In my North American Canadian English accent, American Airlines says that in 2017, they allowed more than 150,000 animals for emotional support to fly on their planes. That's 50,000 more animals than the previous year. What I think it might sound like in an Australian English accent is, American Airlines says that in 2017, they allowed more than 150,000 animals for emotional support to fly on their planes. That's 50,000 more animals than the previous year. So again, year instead of year.
American Airlines says that in...
American Airlines. So they'll say, they won't say it. American. It's American Airlines.
2017, they allowed more than 150,000.
More, not more.
Animals for emotional support to fly on their planes.
To fly on their planes. So it's again, fly. It's a bit more backed versus fly. That's more of a front sound. And when I'm referring to front and back, I'm referring to where in the mouth that sound actually primarily feels like it's coming from. If you just imagine trying to move your mouth, you can make sounds that sound like they're coming more from the throat. Aw, versus ah, aw, ah, aw, ah. Once you become a bit more attuned to sort of where sound production is being made, there's an idea of backed sounds, front sounds, high sounds, low sounds. So high sounds meaning more of a closed mouth. You're really sort of squeaking that sound out a little bit more, like e. You're smiling. Your mouth is quite closed versus ah. Your mouth is quite open. So that's what I'm referring to in terms of front, back, high, low.
That's 50,000 more animals than the previous year.
Yeah. That's 50,000 animals more than the previous year. Next sentence. Meanwhile, the animals people are using for emotional support are getting quite unconventional. What I think it might sound like in the Australian English accent. Meanwhile, the animals people are using for emotional support are getting quite unconventional. And what I feel like I'm doing more is I'm exaggerating that. Some of those vowels, using instead of using, emotional support, are getting quite unconventional. I don't know how to describe it, but I feel more excitable in the mouth movements. I'm exaggerating them a bit more than I naturally would be inclined to do.
Meanwhile, the animals people are using for emotional support are getting quite unconventional.
Quite unconventional. Next sentence. It's not just dogs and cats. Owners are now getting emotional support from a range of animals. What I think it might sound like in an Australian English accent. It's not just dogs and cats. Owners are now getting emotional support from a range of animals.
It's not just dog and cat.
Oh. As you can tell, that's no longer Wendy Zuckerman, so the accent no longer is there.
Owners are now getting emotional support from a range of animals.
Pig.
On one paw, you have people saying they need their fur babies on the plane. And what I think it would sound like in an Australian English accent. On one paw, you have people saying they need their fur babies on the plane.
Saying that they really need their fur baby on the plane.
Need. That sound does sound a little bit more need twangy to me.
And her emotional support squirrel, Daisy, boarded the Frontier Airlines flight.
They told me I had to get off of the plane, that they do not accept rodents.
How was that flight flying without Daisy, your squirrel?
It was emotional.
On the other paw, these animals are rough. These animals are ruffling a lot of feathers. These dogs are crapping all over the place and even biting other passengers. What I think it might sound like in an Australian accent. On the other paw, these animals are ruffling a lot of feathers. These dogs are crapping all over the place and even biting. They might not say biting. Maybe biting other passengers.
On the other paw, animals are ruffling a lot of feathers.
I
mean, these dogs are crapping all all over the place and even...
All over the place?
Biting other passengers.
Biting other passengers. So she does say biting. Biting.
A lot of people are looking at this situation and saying, what a crock.
So, on today's mini episode, we're going to find out, is this a load of crock? Or are these animals really helping people out of their out on their flights? What I think it'll sound like in an Australian English accent. So, on today's mini episode, we're going to find out, is this a load of crock? Or are these animals really helping people out on their flights?
So on today's mini episode, we're going to find out, is this a load of crock?
Are these animals flights? I tend to over-exaggerate that one. Flights. But, like, I've only gone through a few sentences, and that's the process that I think is necessary, and that the intensity and the scrutiny that needs to happen when you are practicing an accent. And I don't think that there's necessarily that education for non-native English speakers to start approaching it this way. It's not an easy or simple process to train yourself or to get into the habit of establishing a new or developing a new accent or a different accent for your use. So you really have to scrutinize and be very self-conscious about how you're achieving it, what you're doing that is lending itself towards achieving this accent, and how you are developing it. And quite literally, you have to go through essentially every single word you say and compare it to how a native English speaker says it, if that's the accent you want to achieve. A lot of times, I think the challenge with determining, and this is something that you have to have a discussion with yourself about, is what's the goal? What's the goal of having of wanting to change your accent? If you're an actor and you want to make your character and your image in your acting reflects a North American speaker when you are maybe Australian or from the UK, then it is vital to the performance that you have the most accurate North American accent that you can achieve. So it really does boil down to, does this sound like an American speaker or a Canadian speaker? Does this sound like a North American speaker? But if you have a foreign English accent, for example, if you're traveling from India, if you're traveling from China, if you're traveling from Spain, Mexico, Brazil, and you're trying to work on your English accent for the sole purpose of communicating more effectively, getting your message across, then maybe you don't have to be so scrupulous, or you don't have to scrutinize every single sound, as long as the message is understood. And so I think that has to be a real discussion that you have with yourself about how realistic your aspirations are and what you are doing truly to achieve those aspirations. Are you sitting down and working night after night, sentence by sentence, sound by sound, word by word, to acquire or to practice a more native English accent? Or is it okay that you don't have a native accent, that people can tell that you don't have a native accent, but you're 100% understood? And that's not something that I can necessarily answer for you. I think some people really do aspire to have a native accent or develop a native English accent. And the most down-to-earth information that I can give them is, yeah, you can. I think you can achieve it, but it's going to take a hell of a lot of work. And you have to put in that work if you really do want that type of communication level in English. But if you are wanting to be a good communicator, you don't necessarily care if you still retain a non-native accent. So let's say you meet a stranger, they can tell whether or not you have you're born in North America or if you're born somewhere else. If you're okay with that, but as long as when you are giving your business presentation, if you're giving your pitch, that people can still understand the message across, then is that sufficient? Is that good enough? There's a lot of gray area or sort of a spectrum in between those two extremes of accent modification. But I think that that really does require discussion with yourself about and sort of have a self-awareness about what your ambitions are, what you really want, and whether or not you are doing the behaviors that are leading you to achieving your goal. But I think that this is a very, very good thing, that if you can sit down, have a transcript, really listen and hone in and develop your skills of critically analyzing your accent and other people's accent, then you're definitely going to pick up words and sounds that are going to be unique to you versus a native English speaker. And that is part of the process of learning. Because ultimately, when you're on the street, people aren't going to necessarily point out all the time, oh, you said this differently. Oh, you said that differently. So really, you're doing this for your own benefit so that you can be the judge and jury about whether you said something like a native English speaker. Because no native English speaker is necessarily going to stop and point out differences in your speech. That's not fair to them because, I don't know, there's a lot of, in this current state, cultural state and socio-political state, people aren't going to point out differences like that. There's no point in it. And then there might be misinterpretation about the genuine intent behind helping versus hurting. But you need to develop it as a non-native English speaker so that you can become more self-critical about what you're saying versus how other people say it. My point being for that is that even if you sound the same as a native English speaker, there are going to be exceptions eventually. There's going to be a word that you're going to just say differently. And you need to have the skill to hear that difference in the way you say it and the way somebody else says it and change that for yourself. If your goal is to continue to have a native sounding English accent. So that was it for today's episode. I'm not sure if I can just keep doing this. I'll keep practicing on the side for myself because it would be cool to say, I don't know, 20 episodes later, hey guys, I'm going to do my episode in an Australian English accent and actually be able to pull it off. But that was sort of my 3-episode take on how to grow your accent knowledge, develop a sound repertoire pertinent to that English accent, and the way that I see tackling it. Hope that helped anyone. Hope you're having a good day. Again, I want to preface this with, I know my Australian English accent already sucks. That's not the point. The point is I'm improving. I'm learning more about it. I'm learning more about myself. I'm learning more about the skills that I have to recreate an accent, to have more better control of my mouth, my tongue, my positioning of those articulators in my mouth when I'm making sounds. And I'm being very self-critical about this. On the flip side, it's still lighthearted. It's still fun. It's still interesting. I'm not frustrated. I'm not shutting myself down. I'm not negative about how I suck. So it's a win-win. It's a learning curve. It's a lifelong skill to grow. See you in the next one. If you like what you're hearing, or even if you aren't, let me know. I know this podcast can be something great and educational for a lot of people. I'm here to listen, so give me your take, your likes, your dislikes, and maybe we can make this into something that'll help a lot of people. Leave a rating on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Once I figure out how to read the reviews, I'm sure it'll help.